Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Savage. We were going to play There's No England Now, but I guess the court operator forgot it. It's Friday night, you know. What do you expect?
All right, put your seat backs upright. Put your tray tables forward. Get ready for a little rocket ride on the Savage Nation. Here it is again. I thought it was over. Just when I thought it was over, it came back again. Well, go to the Drudge Report, top right. You've all seen it already. Radio host Savage blocked from offering Snowden defense in UK. I said, no. Yep. Let me tell you how this began. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you will want to know, because I'm the only member of the American media not allowed to enter Britain. And believe me, ever since I was banned in 09, I've been really anxious to get over there for the dental care, the medical care, and the great cuisine, but obviously I'm not allowed in there. So you say, well, what's this all about? How come I haven't heard it from any of the other conservatives in the media who are so interested in freedom of speech and unfairness? Well, they are, except when it comes to a competitor. So I'm all alone on this, but my audience is enough for me. Let me tell you what happened. Radio host Savage blocked from offering Snowden defense in the UK. I wake up this morning and I get an email. Dear Mr. Savage, I'm writing to extend to you an invitation to speak at the Oxford Union, Oxford University, in a debate on the following motion, which I feel could easily interest you, really interest you. This house would call Edward Snowden the hero is the title of the debate. They write, founded in 1823, the Oxford Union is one of the most famous debating societies in the world, and we have hosted world leaders from all fields, from Presidents Carter, Nixon, and Reagan, General Petraeus, Senator John McCain, and Prime Minister David Cameron, to Mother Teresa, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and the Dalai Lama. We have been honored by the visits of some of the most important personalities of the age. Just in the past few months, we have hosted Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, Malala Yousafzai, and President of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai. The Oxford Union is an incredible place where guests can openly express their views. We not only attract international media attention, but also use our YouTube channel, which has had over 7 million views since it launched only a few months ago, to allow speakers to address a truly global audience. We are just now in the process of setting the dates for the event. We have decided to keep it open while inviting some of the people we are most keen to see speak, such as yourself, Michael Savage, in order to arrange the event at their convenience. The possible dates for the debate are Thursday, January 23rd, Thursday, January 30th, Thursday, 13th of Feb, Thursday, February 20th, Thursday, 6th of March. They go on to say, we would be honored if you were to help us continue this tradition of hosting some of the most influential people in the world and assure that you would enjoy the experience. We feel that you would offer fascinating and original insights on the motion and the phenomenon of whistleblowing at large, following your comments supporting Edward Snowden's leaks. As a talk show host who regularly discusses the importance of government transparency, Savage, you are perfectly placed to discuss the difficult balance to be struck between individual privacy and national security. We know from past experience that guests very much enjoy speaking here, as they can be assured a warm and enthusiastic reception from the student audience. Yours truly, Oxford Union Standing Committee. I won't read the gentleman's name. Well, I was thrilled because I was invited to speak before the Cambridge Union, and I couldn't go there. I wasn't. So now, years later, just when I thought this was all over and forgotten. See, when Cameron was elected, I was told that I'd be taken off the list because it was a mistake. Cameron was a conservative, you know. Well, it never happened. They left me on with murderers, skinheads who killed people, which is hard to believe, considering that nobody in the American media will touch the subject, not even the Kelly file. All of the brave women and men on Fox News pretend I don't exist. So I'm more bemused than angry. I kind of forgot about it, but it's worth talking about. Well, here's what I wrote back. I'll read it to you. It's one paragraph. Dear sir, while I am most honored to have been invited to speak at the Oxford Union, I am unable to enter the great nation of England, as you know. I am one of the banned individuals. If you can convince your government to correct this miscarriage of justice, and they will allow me to enter England, perhaps I could arrange the debate before your prestigious organization. With best regards, Michael Savage. So now, Mr. Board Operator, play There's No England Anymore, and I'll play something else for you in a minute that you're going to love, I guarantee you. Now, while we're playing There's No England Anymore, I'd like to invite you to call the show if you care to talk about this topic. 855-407-282. 855-407. It's a big deal to you. Because there's no other talk shows in America who have been banned from England. It's quite a, it's an honor. Let's see, there was a great book called The Red Badge of Courage. What can I call this? The Mike Badge of Courage? No, that wouldn't work. There's got to be something I can label it. So the WorldNet Daily folks write an article about it today, which is worth reading to you, which I'll do in a minute. But I've already read a letter and my reply, so I won't read again. Instead, what I'm going to do for you is give you a piece of radio broadcasting history that I think will entertain you. I think that would be clip 16, wouldn't it, gentlemen?
We're shocked. Yeah. Angered.
BBC.
How
BBC.
In the world could I be linked with known murderers, people who have been put in prison for years for killing people, people who espouse the overthrow of your government openly, when I am simply speaking, talking for 15 years on the radio, writing best-selling books? It was shocking to believe this is coming out of England, a country I've always loved and admired, specifically for its freedoms.
Of course, the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, has said that the reason you were banned is because the things that you say foment hatred, engaging people in spreading hatred as well. What do you say to the reasons behind the ban?
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. There are millions of people who agree with me, not only in America, but around the world. Now, you can take sound bites from an individual and turn them into anything you want. But if you actually listen to what I said about these things, it might be a different individual that you're hearing. I don't know which show Jackie heard or when she heard it, but I'm not broadcast in England. So obviously she was given some selected sound bites by individuals who detest my points of view and are trying to skewer me. That's not freedom of speech, nor is that fair. But that's not the issue. The issue is that in America, the First Amendment was written to protect offensive speech. We don't need a First Amendment to protect polite speech, do we? I mean, everyone engages in polite speech. What do we need protections for? It's speech which provokes thought that is considered offensive and hateful by those who disagree with you, isn't it? And so, therefore, it's only speech we're talking about, not the acts of murderers. And to lump me in with murderers is defaming me. It's libeling me.
So what are you going to do about it? You said on your show you're going to sue?
We have six or seven attorneys in London who are very anxious to take my position to Parliament. But I don't want to have to go there. She made a mistake. She was not given the full picture of Michael Savage. I suggest that she reconsider, remove my name, send a letter of apology, and I'll rapidly consider dropping the, number one, the libel suit. Number two, the call for a travel ban by my listeners. I don't want to have to do this, but I have 8 to 10 million loyal listeners. If I say, folks, don't go to England, don't buy British goods, don't buy the Jaguar, don't buy the pint, let's see what happens.
And is that something you're prepared to do?
I will do what's necessary. I will do what's necessary to defend my name and reputation. I spent my entire life building a good name and reputation. I will not have it dragged to the mud by this lunatic.
Savage. Question to the Savage Nation. Why is it in our age of free speech and travel that I am still banned from entering England? Two. Do you know why they banned me? It came out through secret files that my lawyer uncovered that the then Prime Minister of England, I forget his name already, I know he's very famous and probably makes a lot of money, I don't remember him, whatever his name was, but the then England, the Prime Minister of England, a very distinguished gentleman, by the way, distinguished in his own mind, said that he had to balance the least wanted list by putting Michael Savage on it in order to balance out the Muslims who were threatening to kill the Queen and overthrow the government. Can you believe this? Number three, are you offended by the fact that no one in talk radio or on Fox News has any interest in the fact that I'm the only member of the American media that's been banned in England? Why do you think no one has come to Michael Savage's defense? If I am not for myself, who will be, is an old statement. If I'm only for myself, what am I? I mean, the fact is, I have to defend myself. So I'd love to go to Oxford. I happen to love England. I pine for the 18th century architecture in Bath, where one of my early publishers has his headquarters. I love the homes. I love the architecture, the antiquities, just the tradition of England is fabulous. I always loved the English people. I was shocked that I was banned originally, but here it came back again. I mean, it's like a Frankenstein. And so I think it's worth talking about. Also, tonight is a very special night for me because tomorrow will be the 10th anniversary of the passing of the mother of the Savage Nation, who is Mama Savage. And I have an archival tape that I think you're going to find amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. When she called the show or I called her, it's hard to believe it's been 10 years. I know many of you have listened to me sometimes for 15 or 20 years now. Do you believe 10 years have gone by since Mama Savage went to heaven? I cannot believe it's been 10 years. It's hard to believe. I thought it was 5, 4. I lost track of it, you know. When I come back on the Savage Nation, I have other sound from the BBC from that time. I have the actual WorldNet Daily article, which is now on the Drudge Report, which you can peruse on your own. If you care to comment on the Savage being banned in England all over again. I mean, look, Oxford is about the most prestigious debating society on the planet. Who wouldn't want to go there? I'm capable of defending my positions. You know, it's an interesting one. The House would call Edward Snowden the hero. Now, I don't know which side they want me to take, incidentally. Maybe next week I will actually take that the position I'm going to take and do it on the radio for the world to hear. I'm not so sure I would call him an unmitigated hero. Many of you have debated that with me. I have a question about the Edward Snowden story. I read yesterday in an article posted on Drudge, by the way, that they've only released 3% of the Snowden documents. He's hiding in Russia, right? Isn't it interesting? He's hiding in Russia. He can't enter the United States. I'm not hiding in the U.S., but I can't enter the U.K., which is very interesting. And what did I actually do that was wrong? Okay, in an age of the land of the Magna Carta, I can't speak my mind because some Democrats in this country cut up sound and sent it to England. Remember, my show is not heard in England. It was a Democrat, as sure as I'm sitting here, or Media Matters who did it. And I haven't gotten to the bottom of it. But I would love whoever is controlling the Snowden tapes to run a computer search of the Michael Savage ban in England. I'd like to find out who did it. Somebody done it. And it came from America. And this could shake up the elections in the year 2013, 2014, and 2016. If it goes back to people, major figures in the Democrat Party, and they conspired to ban me in England, I don't think it would help them with liberals who believe in the First Amendment. Do you? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hints of some of those banned from entering the country because of fears their views will foster hatred or encourage violence have been released. Dan Shaw is our Home Affairs correspondent.
What may surprise some people is that on the list is a US radio shock doc, radio chat show host Michael Savage, who has professed views about a number of things. He's written widely a number of books, very popular, listened to American chat show.
Chat shoes, shock jock. Very popular, shock jock. I love the British. I love the Cockney accent. I love all of the regionals. I have a friend in England. I mean, I love the people. I haven't been there in 20 years. London's a great city. I mean, just get a headscarf, I'll fit right in. In fact, if I got a headscarf, the Queen herself might have me for an audience, you know. I can give her some lessons on the wonders of whatever you want, you know. Certainly not the wonders of the First Amendment. Listen, Winston Churchill said it best. He gave a speech on freedom of speech that no one's ever matched because he was the great genius on the subject, on many other subjects as well. I'll never forget it. He was speaking about the dangers of socialism after World War II. He was running for office, and the country had turned straight out socialist. They were tired from the war. They wanted the government to take care of them. He was arguing that you shouldn't go down that road, what socialism is and what it would do to the country, etc. And he was arguing about freedom of speech and what the progressives, socialists would do to speech. And he was reminding everyone that offensive speech needs protection. Polite speech does not need protection. We all engage in it. Corporations, families, wherever you go, it's polite speech. What do you need a First Amendment for that? The First Amendment was written to protect offensive speech, is what he said. And I learned from it. And I won the Freedom of Speech Award from Talkers Magazine, which is one of the great honors of my life. And I gave one of the great speeches on freedom of speech. I talked about the entire subject, which, by the way, guys, you should get for Monday on the differences between satire, sarcasm, etc. No one has done a better job than I have on speech. This is my business. I should be lauded in America for this. not ignored and reviled like I'm a Soviet dissident by the so-called conservative media. I expect it from the progressives. I wouldn't expect it from all of the so-called wrap themselves in the Constitution right-wingers, would you? So if you want to comment on this, go ahead. I'm just getting warmed up. I am getting warmed up, but I will repeat again for those of you just tuned in. If anyone is listening to this show in Russia, if Edward Snowden himself gets a copy of this radio show or listens to it because he enjoys me talking about Indian buffets and he misses coming back to bad food, I would suggest this, Mr. Snowden. You've only looked through you've only released 3% of what you have found from the NSA. Would you please do a quick search under the name Michael Savage and see what names might pop up? Because, I mean, you're free. I don't know who did it. Somebody did it from America and sent it to that Jackie Smith creature in England. And then she entered my name on that list. So there it is. I mean, that's the story. What can I say to you? 855-400-7282. What a world. What a world we're in. Shirley and Prescott, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead with your comment.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I respect you, and I respect deeply what you say about free speech. I go back to high school education only. I didn't have anywhere near the education you have had.
Well, that's why you're smarter than most people. You weren't brainwashed in the progressive colleges.
About American history and about Breed's Hill and Bunker Hill. If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away.
God, are you a treasure. I'd like to take you out for your 100th birthday. When is that coming up?
I appreciate that First Amendment. And
when's your 100th birthday coming up? I want to take you out to dinner.
46 and 1947.
You were born in 46?
Founders did. And why? No,
when were you born? Shirley, what year were you born?
Was born, oh God help me, in 1929.
God bless you. In 2029, you have a date. I'm taking you to dinner, Shirley. 2029, mark the date.
Asian. Call now, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
John Hannity.
At some point, America's going to come calling for conservative answers because they are the only ones that will work.
Weekdays at noon on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You know, there's a meteor shower tonight, a comet shower that's supposed to go off like comet bursts. It's an amazing night. I mean, there's so many things in the air celestially. And tomorrow is the 10th anniversary of the passing of the mother of the Savage Nation. Now this thing of being invited to Oxford and I still can't go there, which I had forgotten about. I sort of moved past it in a way, but you never move past this kind of insult. They try to besmirch the reputation of a man who has a fine name, and they let animals into England. They let disgusting, low-life, anti-British, anti-freedom, anti-queen, anti-life, low-life throwbacks into the nation who say they're going to blow up the country and they don't throw them out. The world is upside down. You know, I'm in Brobbingdang here. I'm in Brobbingdang. This is like the last chance I have to straighten my life out. How many years do I have left? How many years does the world have left? The world of civilization that a thing like this could go on, I ask myself. So before we go back to taking your great calls on what the progressives are doing to freedom around the world, I love this one. De Blasio says liberalism will sweep nation. Yeah, Nazism will sweep the country. Should, Bill. Your liberal fascism will sweep the nation. Everybody can't wait to be scared by your left-wing terrorists into giving up every dime they make to the bums and the deadbeats. Unbelievable. The world is turning on its axis, by the way. It's been turned upside down. There's a lot of reasons for it. But nevertheless, I don't want to go into that. You know the reasons. The question is, what can you do about it? And the answer is, I think there's precious lot. A precious lot you can do. Don't give up. But anyway, before I go back to the comments that you're going to make on the England thing, and the lines are hot as fire right now, you'd think, well, with all the competition, Savage, and who's listening anymore, and the Christmas jingle bells, Bing Crosby, Snowden, Snow Job, whatever, Snow Cones. Well, the audience is still there. Because I promised this, I want to go back 10 years to when Mom, it's actually longer, because I don't have the date, but this is a few years before Mom got really sick, And I want to show you how fast this woman was in her own, how she set me up. Listen to clip four. Mother Savage, I was talking with my audience about fond memories and things that influenced me. And I remember the day you took me and Alan to Radio City Music Hall to the, do you remember here how radio was done behind the scenes?
Oh, sure.
Do you remember when they rattled the big piece?
The NBC tour.
The NBC tour.
Right.
And they show you with the horse's hooves to make it sound like a horse on a...
Right.
And then they rattled a piece of metal to make it sound like thunder.
Right.
And then where did you take us to eat? Do you remember where you would take Alan and I to eat?
Oh, we went to the Automat.
No. Well, the Automat was one place. How about when you took us to the Floridian?
Oh, my God. That's right.
Remember they whipped
the... Floridian, the Californian.
Now, you see, you're in Florida and I'm in California. There was something there. But they whipped the eggs up. What I liked about it is you made eggs. I mean, I don't want to put you down right, but they were just eggs. They were flat like everyone else's eggs. But when you went into this place, they had a way to make the egg go up like in a pyramid.
They put something in the eggs to make it puffy.
Yeah, I would have been a foot taller if I didn't eat those eggs, probably what they put in there.
They were delicious. You can't get that kind of food again.
No. Ma, let me ask you this. What was the name of the Italian chain in New York that was Romeo's 50-cent spaghetti that we'd go to, 50 cents a plate? What was it? Was it Romeo's?
I remember now Romeo's.
Remember, it was pretty inexpensive, and it was a chain, and we would go in every once in a while, and it was always...
a plate.
Yeah, but was it Romeo's spaghetti?
I think it may have been that.
What did you eat in there?
Spaghetti. I still love it.
How do you... You're 83, right?
Right.
But you're not on a low-fat diet. You never have been.
I'm not what?
You're not on a low-fat diet. I mean, you still...
I should be.
You should be. But the truth is, you and I, once I got my PhD in nutrition, I'd come to your house and you'd always cook the same fatty foods, and I would say, how can you do that? And you always ate it, but God bless you. What else do you like on a Saturday? What do you eat when you go out?
French fried potatoes.
You're 83 years old. You eat French fried potatoes, and what else do you have with it? What other light bite?
Frankfurters. Sauerkraut.
Oh, I love you. But let me ask you, truthfully, you don't smoke or drink, right?
No.
In your life, did you smoke?
No.
Yeah, I saw once you did when you were 30. You took a cigarette.
Just to show off.
But, so in other words, you think that it's...
Inhale.
So in other words, what you didn't inhale like Bill Clinton. Is that what you just said? You didn't inhale. What, were you and Bill Clinton?
No, I didn't inhale.
You didn't inhale. And the president said that. Look what it did for him.
No, I never had any vices.
You never had any vices. But, Ma, what do you think...
All I did was eat food.
So you can eat anything, but what do you think is the secret to longevity?
What's the secret?
Yeah. Because you're an elder. You're 83.
Yeah, my case, what it is, I think.
What?
No sex.
No sex. Well, that in San Francisco is a sin, what you just said, because these people believe that the more is more sex you have is better.
Well...
Especially the gays, Ma, out here, you know, they go to...
83, though.
Huh?
They're not 83.
No, you can't argue with that. What do you think about guys going to a bathhouse with 100 men a week? They lay down with them. That, now, that's already past. So that was an amazing, amazing thing. So what do you owe longevity? And she says, in my case, and she sets me up, and I say, she says, no sex. I mean, you got to understand where I got my timing from. An amazing woman, and I've missed her for every day that she's been, you know, gone. And that's the way life is. It's after many a summer dies the swan. It's that simple. It's been said many times by many more eloquent people than I, and it's the way of all flesh, as was written by someone else who was also quite great. And here we are, you know, so we're all born alone, and we die alone at the end of the day. And here I am walking alone, and the thing is, in her memory, she worked very hard to create good children. She brought us up on the old virtues of American society. She was an immigrant woman who worked very hard. She came from very hard circumstances. Her mother, I think my grandmother, who I knew for very, was a single mother who had to raise her and her brother and her sister with almost very little money. She had to work many jobs. So believe me, I understand what it's like to... come from, but she never lost a sense of humor. She had a love for life, and she didn't have to engage in weird behavior in order to get to 88. Those were her last good years. At 83, she was still cheerful, but then it was, oh boy, the doctors killed her. I have a friend right now. I wish I could tell him to stop listening to the chemo guys. Oh my God, it's a horrible thing to watch. I had to go on with a relative also. He had. They tell him, oh, you got the best doctors at Johns Hopkins, because he was very well known, one of my relatives. Extremely well known. I won't mention his name. God bless him. Wonderful man. But they said, don't worry, but he had pancreatic cancer. And he looked really good. Oh, you got the best doctor in the best hospital. They said, don't worry about it. We got the latest, most experimental thing. It's targeted. It's only going to get... And they gave him hope. Reduced to 98 pounds. Died a horrendous death. I have a friend like that, like a tree. They can't kill him. This guy is like watching an oak tree go down in the forest. It's heartbreaking. He got with about 30 chemo treatments. He hasn't lost a hair on his head. And he hasn't lost a pound. Strong, old-world Italian. I love this man. I went and had dinner with him last week. I don't even want to mention his name because I'm not trying to exploit the relationship. It was so beautiful to see him. I mean, how could anyone be that strong? And all I did was I hugged him and I said, keep fighting. We all love you. He said, thank you. It means a lot to me. You know, I went in with my dog, Teddy. He made me put the dog in a chair. And he served him veal at the table. He didn't care what the other... He said, the hell with it. It's my restaurant. What do I care what anyone... Normally, if you bring a dog, you know, they give him a paper plate on the floor. They shun the poor creature. Yeah, he knows that he's better than most of his customers. Well, he doesn't tip very well, but all right, aside from that, he certainly doesn't complain. He didn't say, can you give me the low-fat veal? Can I have the veal with no salt, please? He didn't ask for a special menu. He didn't tell him how to cook it. A little, I want it pink, but not too pink. I don't want it too cooked. I want the enzymes. I want to make sure that it was cooked at 104 degrees, not 107. He didn't say that. Gave him veal, the dog inhaled the veal. What can I tell you? That's life. So what do you want to talk about on the Savage Nation tonight? Look, I started with this heavy topic, then I went to Mom, and here we are back to the heavy topic. Maybe this is a good segue for me to take a couple of important calls. Let's take Rita on WRKO in Boston. Rita, what's your opinion of the Savage invitation to Oxford and the band?
I would not go to England. I don't trust anybody. They could jail you, and Obama would never free you. Don't take
well. Yeah, I understand. They send me back, you know, in shackles, like I was the worst guy on the planet.
It'd be horrendous.
But you see, the Irish have suggested that I come to the Republic of Ireland, which is not part of the UK. They don't exactly like their neighbors, their neighboring Anglos. The Irish have said, "Come to Ireland, bring 1,000 of your Savage Nation audience. We'll go to the border of England and tell them what we think of them."
Yeah, that would be safe. Ireland's safe, yeah.
Well, surrounded by 1,000 people from Ulster, it might be safe.
By the way, I'm psychic, and I had a vision that Obama will not be president the last 2 years. It'll be...
I don't want to hear anything, like, really bad about... Because that's danger, you know. Any visions about me?
No, everything is going to roll along as usual.
What, you're a psychic, a genuine psychic, or let's say only you know it?
Things once in a while, but they do come true.
No, I understand. We all have flashes like that. What's the biggest psychic phenomena you've ever experienced that turned out to be true?
Well, a week before my mother died, I just felt one of the mothers was going to die, my mother-in-law and my mother, and she did die a week later.
No, I understand that. We do get these senses, yes. So you have a terrible sense about the future. What about the future of America?
Well, just what I don't think it's going to be a safe place.
Wow.
I think there are other places that are safer.
I really feel this country's moving into the position of the ex-Soviet Union. That's, I personally see what Obama's done with spying, secrecy, no photos allowed. Reuters photo. Did you hear the scandal not only of the selfie? Did you hear the rest of that story? You know the story of him taking the picture with the Danish president, right? The selfie?
Yeah.
Okay, but did you hear the rest of the story? That picture was taken by a Reuters photographer who then apologized. He wrote a written report saying, I'm sorry for taking the picture. It was only a snapshot. That's not the real president. It's not who he really is. Did you hear any of this?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the world of that's the freedom of the press that we're living with.
It's ridiculous. Not everything is terribly upside down.
Well, thank you. When you get a man like this in the White House who's a maniac for controlling everything and controlling his image, you understand what a dictatorship really can become. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Y amor, mi corazón, Ligeith ai amin Ven o mare Amen
Mother well, Savage, I was talking with my audience about fond memories and things that influenced
Memorial
me.
To my mother. Memorial to my mother. Where will we all be in 10 years? Where will I be? Where will you be? Where will the world be? Where will the moon be? Where will the stars be? Where will the sun be? Where will Obama be? Where will Valerie Jarrett be? Where will Israel be? Where will Teddy be? Where will the bees be? Where will the butterflies be? Where will the double bees be and the triple bees be? And the you get the picture. No one has the answer, and that's what makes life wonderful, isn't it? I mean, if you knew where everything would be, what would life be? Would you be happy to know every day of your life for the rest of your life? Is that what you want? And you're supposed to not know. You're supposed to try to plan like a little bumblebee or a little honeybee. You're supposed to lay the high. You're supposed to lay down the little, you know, the honey. You're supposed to do it and plan. But what if someone knocks over the honey, knocks over the nest? What are you going to do? Or a bear comes and steals your honey? How's that for a bad metaphor? 855-400-7282 is the Savage Nation. I was risking that playing it. I shouldn't have even played it. I don't know. It's up. It's down. I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. And I know many of you men listening to this show probably are wrecked from this tonight, thinking of your mothers. It's a funny thing talking about mothers to begin with, because I'm going to tell you a story that I don't think I've ever told you on the radio, because my memory banks get provoked sometimes. As it just happened, I remember now distinctly when I was a young kid, I told you these stories. I wrote about them in Train Tracks, as many of them that I thought were relevant. Well, the tough guy in the father crowd, the real tough guy, the professional gambler, the boxer, the fighter who owned a nightclub on the Upper West Side, he was different than all the others. All the other men were like merchant types, small merchants. None of them were tough guys. This guy was a genuine street fighter tough guy, but a wonderful, quiet man that everyone looked up to. He was the silent, you know, warrior of the entire neighborhood. And no, he never, you know, raised his voice. He never hit anybody. But everyone knew how, you know, he was really just what he was. So he was the guy that all of the boys looked up to. And as we got older, I mean, remember, we all grew up together in the old neighborhood, we would gravitate to him, sit around and listen to the wisdom of the elders. And he would tell stories about how to be a man. And it was a little different than today, as you could imagine. He would tell you to not worry about getting into a fight. He would say the most that you could do is lose a tooth. What's the big deal? It's better than losing your pride. I mean, things like that. It was an amazing thing to have a father figure tell you things like that. It's unheard of today, where you can't play touch football anymore in the sissified America. But there were other things that he taught us. And he taught us about mothers. And what he said was, he said, as tough as he was, he said, guys, let me tell you something. But he actually called us boys. They didn't call us guys then. He called boys. He said, you know, boys, he says, when you get older, he said, a lot of things are going to change in your life. But the one thing that will never change is your mother. So, you know, he said, you're always going to have your mother in a separate category from everybody else. And you're never going to forget your mother. She's always going to be there for you, whether she's here or not. You will always remember your mother. Well, he was right. He was right. And a lot of men carry this in their hearts and they understand this, and they never talk about it. But this bond between son and mother is something that you cannot describe. I don't think it's been written adequately. I remember reading the Russian writers on fathers and sons. I think Turgenev wrote Fathers and Sons. I could be mistaken. That was a profound book, Fathers and Sons. But I don't know if anyone's written a sufficient novel or insight that is not stupidly Woody Allen-esque, idiotic, Freudian stupidity on sons and mothers. See, he was a twisted man. He is a twisted man. Look what he did with the young girl. Okay, very, very talented. I enjoy his movies up to a point, but twisted with the mother. Everything's a mockery of the mother with the big breast flying by with the balloon. And, you know, okay, we understand. Neurotic, very funny, stereotypical type of New Yorker that, you know, hopefully will not be around for very much longer. Maybe with the new immigrants, we won't have to put up with that much longer as a sense, you know, of manhood, to make a mockery of your mother, for God's sakes. Anyway, guys, I'm having a little reverie trouble right now because once I started thinking, I knew this would happen. I was afraid to mix these two topics, but, you know, it's the night of the shooting stars. I told you that. It's the night of the shooting stars, both internally and externally in the heavens and in my mind. And so if I'm talking about England, it just came up. I didn't even plan on it. I planned on
doing mom's, you know, memorial, and that was about it. But, man, I need an Irish bar. But I got a couple of hours left. I could use an Irish bar. I could use an Irish bar with about 10 Irishmen that I don't even know who are talking about their mothers. I'd like to have a few drinks tonight. I'll be right back. Oh, I can't. Is this the end of the segment? No, I got an hour and I got a minute and 20 yet. I got to fill this. Play this No England Anymore while I'm, you know, rambling on about mom. I mean, good God. I wish we had other mother tapes. We looked. I don't have any more than this. You have this No England Anymore? How many times do I have to call for a soundbite till my tongue falls out? It's unbelievable. I got a call script tonight. It's like the third in the row tonight already.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I started with Tony Blair, who now says he made a mistake. Oh, whoops. Tony Blair said, oh, whoops, he said. We shouldn't have flooded England with so many third worlders who didn't respect our language and our customs. No kidding, Tony. A little whoops mistake, huh? Radio host Michael Savage blocked from offering Snowden defense in UK. Top of Drudge Report. Read it for yourself. It's an amazingly important article, I think. Sun activity at century low. Top of Drudge Report. All the while, the frauds, the tricksters, the Al Corleone crime family and syndicate continue to push the global warming scare and lie. It's astounding how they don't get stopped. Earth was warmer in Roman and medieval times. Another study came out also on the Drudge Report. He doesn't write the articles. Now it's snowing in the Middle East. Snow hits Cairo first time in 100 years. Historic storm in Israel. And they're still giving lectures on global warming. 5 to 6 feet of snow in upstate New York. And the schmucks at the colleges, the liars, the progressive thieves, are talking about global warming. But let's stick to this. I'll read you the article. Host Savage blocked from offering Snowden defense in England. I'll read it to you. That's all. And I'll take your calls. I'll take your calls in a few minutes, 855-407-282. The famed Oxford Union in England has invited talk radio host Michael Savage to participate in a debate on whether or not fugitive National Security Agency leaker Edward Snowden should be called a hero. There's only one hitch, as Savage pointed out in his reply to the invitation from the Oxford Union. The popular nationally syndicated San Francisco-based talk host was banned in 2009 from entering the United Kingdom by Prime Minister Gordon Brown's government, along with Muslim extremists and leaders of racist groups for, quote, seeking to provoke others to serious criminal acts and fostering hatred, close quote. The government, however, has never specified what Savage has said that might threaten the nation's security. Savage replied today, Friday, 12-13, in the year 2013. Oh, my God, 12-13, 2013. Savage replied, while I am most honored to have been invited to speak at the Oxford Union, I am unable to enter the great nation of England. Official correspondence released under the UK's Freedom of Information Law revealed that the government banned the American talk host, who had given no indication he planned to ever travel to the country, because it wanted to use his name, quote, to provide balance to a least wanted list dominated by Muslim extremists. The invitation to Savage was extended Thursday evening through the talk host syndicator. We feel that you would offer fascinating and original insights on the motion and the phenomenon of whistleblowing at large, following your comments supporting Edward Snowden's leaks, they wrote. Snowden fled to Russia and received asylum in August after exposing highly classified programs in which the U.S. collects data on its citizens and important figures worldwide. Oxford Union wrote, as a talk show host who regularly discusses the importance of government transparency, Michael Savage, you are perfectly placed to discuss the difficult balance to be struck between individual privacy and national security. Close quote. Savage has called Snowden a patriot for exposing U.S. spying on citizens, distinguishing him from convicted U.S. Army soldier Bradley Manning, who Savage said had no altruistic intent. Close quote. In his reply, Savage said, if you can convince your government to correct this miscarriage of justice, and they will allow me to enter England. Perhaps I could arrange a debate before your prestigious organization. Close quote. Savage has not yet heard back from the Oxford Union. By the way, later on, I sent another email offering to appear. I said, could you have me appear by Skype with an empty chair with a sign over it which says banned in Britain? You know, the Clint Eastwood job, an empty chair, and there's a picture, a TV monitor on it, and I'm in it on Skype, and it says above it, banned in Britain. I mean, that's good theater, isn't it? Very Shakespearean. Asked to comment on the Oxford invitation, Savage noted people now are, quote, living in fear that with the NSA spying and the increasing overbearing governments of the West, that very soon free speech will be limited, close quote. But that's nothing new, said Savage. Guess what? It's been going on since 2009 when I, Michael Savage, a member of the American media, was banned for no reason for entering the United Kingdom. Savage said he was assured that the ban would be lifted when David Cameron of the Conservative Party replaced the Labour Party leader Brown as Prime Minister. It is now 2014, and I am still unable to access the great dental care and cuisine of England, Savage said. I guess Cameron turned out to be the Boehner of England. And then he goes on the rest of the story, the best of the The Savage's Daily, The Savage Nation, has been one of the most popular talk radio shows in the U.S. for more than a decade. On January 1, his show will move to the coveted East Coast Drive Time Primetime, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on America's finest stations. Oxford's invitation is not the first time Savage has been asked to participate in a debate at an esteemed English society since the ban. And he goes on to the 09 Cambridge Union invitation and the fact that in 1823 the Oxford Union is featured world figures such as Reagan, Cameron, Mother Teresa, and the Dalai Lama. I mean, this would be a great thing for me. That would cap off my career. My mother's in heaven. She'd love it, right? Isn't that wonderful if she would be looking down? Be looking down on me. Wow, you made it to America. You made it to England. Made it to England. Made it to England. Made it to England. Yeah, well, I'm reading the comments already. There are haters jumped on already. Yeah, what does this say? Oh, Mr. Savage, I want you to know that the only thing that awaits you in England are charges of blasphemy against Islam. England is gone. Judges are now ruling based on Sharia law. Stop pining for it. It's a rotting corpse. The government, top to bottom, are owned by Saudi Arabia's little caliphate. They trained 2,000 Al-Qaeda insurgents in their own backyard to kill Christians in Syria. Not in some far-off land like Obama, but in their own cities. Don't go there, Savage. Stay away. The only thing great about England is that they aren't big enough to matter when the Muslims decide to use them as a mosque fortress of attack. Ooh! Others say I should go. Although Savage may face difficulty in England, should go and attack this strong point with sheer and gusto. No, I won't go. I will never go there. I will never go there. Savage was on a list of 16 people banned from entry because the government believed their views might provoke violence, close quote, but some are right. But the Muslims who cut the heads off of soldiers don't provoke violence? Unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable. Well, there's the haters already. They don't even understand what they're talking about, but they're attacking without even knowing they're attacking themselves because they're attacking free speech and attacking the First Amendment and attacking the right to speak your mind without provoking violence. I mean, you could say anyone's provoking violence by speaking the truth. You speak truth to power. They could say you're provoking violence. I therefore arrest you. You don't know that, then you know nothing about the history of the Magna Carta or the First Amendment. You're not worthy of your citizenship. You ought to move to Uganda. That's where you belong. San Francisco ought to become an appendage of Uganda for what it's worth, the freedom here, the freedom of speech. But, you know, England has no written constitution with free speech. That I happen to know. There is no First Amendment in England. Did you know that? See, this is something Americans don't understand. There is no First Amendment protection in England. They live in a sort of quasi-police state to begin with. So let's go to Philip, who knows all of this. Philip on WABC, thanks for listening. Go ahead and make your point.
Well, that's absolutely true. They don't have a constitution or a First Amendment, and we fought a revolution to get away from their kind of government. But in your case, they're probably just banning you because you're vicious and vitriolic.
Anything else you have to say that's nice?
Well, that's it for tonight. See you, Bub.
Bub. I don't know what Bub means. So vitriolic is not good? Was this man complimenting me or trying to attack me? Yeah, I know. He thought he attacked me. So I'm vicious and vitriolic, so therefore I should be banned in England? Is that what that moron just said? Another great American voter for Obama. Another American hater. Sir, try switching to unleaded paint chips. Perhaps it will help your thinking. 855-400-7282. WRKO in Boston. Lou, welcome to the program.
So what is honesty, vitriolic now? The guy's out of his mind.
Yeah, well, good. And welcome to the vitriol club.
Yeah. There's a lot of nice people out there. They're all liberals, huh?
Yeah, they don't understand vitriol. They don't want it when it runs in their direction.
I like the British, like you say you do, the everyday folk. But it just seems like their Labour Party is doing the same kind of damage to them that our Democrats are doing to us. You know, you think back to World War II and the way those Brits fought tooth and nail against the Germans, and now they're surrendering to any immigrant who wants to come in, and, you know, Muslims who want to behead people, that drummer Lee Rigby, they want to cut his head off in the street.
Do you know that Mike Tyson was just banned from entering Britain? Did you know that?
No, actually, no, I did not.
It happened this week. Mike Tyson, one of the great American heroes, was just put on the same list that I'm on. I didn't know I'm in the brotherhood with Mike Tyson. It's actually an honor now. He was banned from entering. He's a convicted felon. He can't enter that sacred nation. See, if he had gone to, let's say, Yemen and joined an Al-Qaeda cell and then applied for asylum, perhaps the Brits would give him a red carpet and roll it out right at Gatwick to welcome to the country. See, that's the way it works. Then they would have somebody on their hands and knees begging him to enter to blow up the nation.
Yeah.
All right, look, it's a sickening story, that's all. Why dwell on it? What's the difference? It's gut-wrenching when you think about it. It's gut-wrenching when you think about it. If you'd like to comment on this or any other topic, there's a lot of news out there that we can talk about, 855-407-282. How do you feel about that? How do you like the fact that I'm banned? Are you one of those good progressives who hates the First Amendment when it applies to your political opponents? Is that it? In other words, the First Amendment only applies to your left-wing louts, your big-mouth socialist mouths. Are the only ones that should be protected by the First Amendment, not the right-wingers who you don't like? You don't understand the first thing, then, about what the First Amendment's all about, by the way. KSFO, Michael, welcome to the program. Fire away.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I'll buy your ticket to go to the Republic of Ireland as long as I can come along.
That's very nice. I wouldn't accept it because I couldn't, but that's amazing, huh? I've often thought, but I've been tied up with so many other things with the new show and all, that at some point I will organize a tour with 1,000 Savage listeners, right? 1,000 Savages and Savagettes. Either we all fly over or we rent a cruise ship, and we go into Southampton on a cruise ship. Well, we can't go to this. We'd have to go to a port in Ireland. And we arrive in Ireland, right, with the band playing, and then we all go up by bus to the border with England. I thought that would be a great, great thing to. It would be a great fitting end to my career.
I'll do it. I'll spend the money. I'll take all the time off. I'll do whatever I have to do to go there.
I'd worry about the British sharpshooters.
I lived overseas for many years.
I would worry about the British sharpshooters who treated the Irish so well in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, real.
You know, they really treated the Irish people really well, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, if you go to Ireland and you see those rolling hills of green grass, those are bodies.
What do you mean bodies?
From the famines, the famines that they had that the British helped induce. You know, they tried to starve the Irish people out in the Republic. When you're driving around seeing those green rolling hills.
Wait, you're not blaming the potato famine on the Brits, are you?
Absolutely.
Well, why? How do you blame the potato famine, which was caused by a virus?
Well, they were messing around with the landlords there and buying out land, and you know they were in charge of.
Well, there's a degree of reality in what you're saying, but it happens when you go to a monocrop, a monoagricultural system of a single crop. You run that danger of wiping yourself out. You can never ever go to a monocrop. You have to have a versatile food supply. You can't limit yourself to a single crop. That's what happens. But that's a separate story. But you know what was lost to the United Kingdom was a great gain to America, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean,
look at what the Irish people have contributed to this country. Take a look at it. Look at the millions who had to come over here because of the famine. And by the way, they worked as virtual slaves in this country when they came here. Never heard them bellyaching. They never had an Al Sharpton an Al O'Sharpton. They never had a Jesse O. Jackson type running around saying that they were treated unfairly. They worked until they broke, and they didn't mutter a thing about it. And look what they built for their descendants in this country without trying to shake people down with fraudulent claims of racism. You know, when the Irish first came here, you know that there were signs in this country that said Irish and dogs need not apply, things like that. Do you know that they were treated like that?
Yeah, I've seen those things. The Irish were smart. They got into politics real quick. They knew what to do.
Yeah. Well, they've done well for themselves without complaining, without walking around with anger toward the whole world. They knew what to do with their anger, which was to channel it into making a living. Anyway, let's move on. The phone number is 855-107-282. When I come back, we'll continue on the British media ban on Savage, my response, celebration of my mother's passing 10 years ago, and I'll give you all the latest news right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, lads, welcome back to the Savage Nation, a worldwide radio show. By the way, today is Friday the 13th. I didn't know it till this second. I'm sorry I found out. Yep. Friday the 13th. Here we are. Friday the 13th. How many hours are left till I'm allowed to go out? And there's a meteor shower tonight. It says 4 in the morning is the best time to catch the meteor shower. Well, I hope that I'm not insomniac, but if I am, I have something to look forward to. You know what I'm saying? If I'm, let's say I'm up at night, I'm agitated, so what? I got something to look forward to. What's the difference? You know, 12, 13. There's something about numbers tonight. 12, 13, 2013. Think about that one. I mean, if you're a betting person, 12, 13, 2013. Someone could play with that. I used to have a numbers guy who called the show, and he used to do things with numbers. He doesn't listen anywhere. He's in Cleveland, wasn't he? Cincinnati? If the numbers guy, the numerologist, is on, you know, what's on this weekend? Is there anything happening? Let's take some calls. Redding, California or Pennsylvania? KQMS, Redding, California. Steve, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just talking about you. You know, your mother passed away 10 years ago, and my mother passed away 3 years ago. And she was three.
She was. Did you ever take pictures of her or record her?
Oh, yeah. No, what I did, I took pictures, but my big mistake is that I would go, because I live in Northern California. She lived, you know where Manteca is?
Yep.
You know, south of Stockton?
Yeah, but the thing is I think it's important to record your parents and tape them, because sometimes you wish you could talk to them, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is. Sometimes the tape is good. The video's amazing altogether. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's just that one party has taken straight aim at the middle class. The Democrats live for more onerous regulation on businesses. That's irrelevant.
Michael Savage.
Of course the Republicans are for big business, but the Democrats are for big business. It's big business that runs the country. So what's wrong with big business?
Without big business, there'd be no big country.
So let's stop being fools about it. We're no longer making buggy whips and Swiss cheese in our backyard.
The Savage Nation. Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
On the next morning show, start your week off the right way with me, Brian Sussman, and
welcome
Katie
back
Green.
To 12,
we're here
13,
5 to 9 a.m. That's right,
Savage
on
Nation.
KSFO.
That's not my phone number. That's the date, by the way. And it is Friday the 13th, and there's a meteor shower tonight. And there's so many things. There's a lot of confluence tonight. Not only in my life. I mean, there's confluence going on here. It's amazing. And we're talking about the fact that the radio host Michael Savage and myself, yours truly, blocked from offering Snowden defense in the UK. It's a story that happened today. It's on the Drudge Report on the top right. I welcome you to read it, because if you're new to the story, it's an amazing story. There's no other member of the American media banned from entering Britain. That's a story. That's a very big story. You could say, so what? It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. What if a liberal were banned from entering a country? What would you say about that? You'd be outraged, wouldn't you? Where are all the First Amendment loudmouths on Prozac from Manhattan who sell the First Amendment like a Bill of Rights, who make their living on the First Amendment to get drug dealers off and pornographers, really? How about when it comes to real speech that's not pornographic? Okay? See, everything is everything. So in a minute, I'm going to go back in time. Let's go back in time together to what I said on that day in 2009 when I learned of this injustice. This is culled from that show by the magic of radio. Listen. Britain defamed Michael Savage, putting me in a league with mass murderers because of my opinions. For this lunatic, Jackie Smith, the Home Secretary of England, to link me up with skinheads who are killing people in Russia, to put me in league with Hamas murderers who kill Jews on buses, is defamation. Moreover, I've been endangered by this lunatic. She has painted a target on my back, linking me with people who are imprisoned for killing people. Does she not think this will bring harm to me? And if she does, will she pay for it? We'll find out soon enough what the laws of England protect and don't protect. But even liberals listening to this show should be disturbed at the move by the British government, because they wonder, they should wonder, who's next. Today it's me, tomorrow it's you. And I have to say to you that this is, in some ways, people are saying Savage is a badge of honor. Savage is a good thing to be on this list. Savage, this is the last gasp of a troubled Labour Party that is out of touch with the voters of England. According to the most recent surveys, Labour and highly unpopular Prime Minister Gordon Brown are expected to be swept from power by Conservatives at the next general election. That's all well and good. But will the Conservatives undo the damage that this lunatic has done? We'll have to wait and see. The Home Office of England said that I was banned because I am engaging in unacceptable behavior. Behavior? How is it behavior for me to publish books? Now, I thought about this, and it could be that my latest book, Psychological Nudity, on the cover of which you see Michael Savage and my 10-pound dog, Teddy, it could be that One-Armed Frank, or Fat Al's Tuna, or Dead Man's Pants, or Woodchuck Bill, or Love by the Sewer Plant, it could be that one of these stories is offensive to those in England. I really don't know. I do know this, that I've written many bestsellers, but prior to my political life, I had written about 18 books in the field of health that were well-received as well. Perhaps they're out of touch with the English today. Perhaps my books on vitamins and nutrition are considered a threat to the social order in England. Some would say, Savage, don't be so upset. It's going to help the sales of Psychological Nudity. Well, okay, great. Go on to michaelsavage.com and buy a copy and send it to a friend in England and tell him to walk around with it proudly. Do me a favor. It's not going to change my lifestyle. What other books have been banned and what other authors have been banned in relatively modern history? I'm in very good company if you want to look at it from that point of view. Did you know that Brave New World by Aldous Huxley was banned in Ireland in 1932? How about Candide by Voltaire, seized by U.S. Customs in 1930? How about Dr. Zhivago by Boris Pasternak? Dr. Zhivago was banned within the ex-Soviet Union until 1988 because it's criticism of the Bolshevik Party. Now, that's very close to this group in England, isn't it? Did you know that Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift, banned in Ireland? Did you know that Orwell's 1984 was banned by the USSR in 1950? Did you know that 1984 was nearly banned by the USA and UK in the early 60s during the Cuban Missile Crisis because it was thought to disturb the social order? How about the Satanic Verses by Rushdie? Did you know that The Sorrows of Young Werther by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe was banned in several European countries? Why? Because The Sorrows of Young Werther encouraged the suicidal deaths amongst some susceptible individuals. Oh, as well, The Call of the Wild by Jack London, banned in Yugoslavia and Italy. So in that sense, I could say, well, okay, take it with a grain of salt, look at what's coming from. On the other hand, this is a very dangerous thing indeed. This lunatic, Jackie Smith, in my opinion, has defamed me, and if possible, I will sue her personally. This is the Savage Nation. How do you feel about England banning Michael Savage? Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think that this is a good thing for freedom?
Savage.
Psychological Nudity is no longer in print. It's train tracks, as the family stories. I suppose that maybe that's what's upsetting them, why I'm still banned. But you see, in that tape, I said that the Labour Party was about to be swept out of office, and I waited 2 years for that to happen. And then I waited another year when Cameron took power to be released from the list. I spent about $400,000. Many of you contributed to the Legal Defense Fund, and I was ripped off by lawyers in England, and Cameron did nothing. The lawyers just took my money and ran, okay? So that was that. So here I live with it. So what? What are you going to do? I more or less forgot it. And life has moved on. Now in January, I begin a new life, a new radio life, a new broadcast life, a new writer's life. And we move on. We move on. We keep going. We go forward. If you get stuck in the past, you know, if you look back on your life, if you get stuck with any one fight, and I know people who are stuck like with something that happened to them when they were children, you can't move on. You get crippled. And it's the same in your professional life. You can't let one setback stymie you. You go on. And when you're young, it's very hard to understand this because it's so overwhelming to think you have to hire lawyers and I'm afraid and what's it going to do to me and who can afford it. And you can't let that stop you. You got to keep look. I taught my children something, and I learned it from the Native American people who I studied when I was very young. When I was writing Earth Medicine, I was very deeply into herbal medicine. They had a saying, look to the mountaintop. And I'll never forget when my kids were children, when they could understand you. I would walk in the back of a certain valley in California, and I said to them, always, no matter how dark things get in your life, remember what the Indians taught us, look to the mountaintop. And they said, Daddy, what do you mean by that? And I said, no matter how dark the valley may be, look to the mountaintop, because once you climb to that mountaintop, you'll be able to look down and see where your freedom is. Well, I don't know whether it entered their minds or not, but I know that it certainly was important for me to understand. And I have still walked in the valley of the shadow of much darkness in my psychological life. But I continue to look to the mountaintop. And to me, January 1st, January 2nd is a new mountaintop. I'm slogging in a valley right now. I'm in the darkness. I've been in the darkness for a year now. But I see a new mountaintop on the horizon. I'm walking towards it, and that's where I hope you'll be with me on that mountaintop on January 2nd. That is my new mountaintop. That's my new Mount Zion. And from there it all begins, and we'll see where that goes. Who knows where it goes? Let's take some callers. I hope this isn't bumming you out on a Friday night, Friday the 13th. I mean, what should we be talking? What, does everything have to be ha-ha and happy and funny and this and horns and hong-hong? What kind of life is this? Everything has to be funny. What's the reality shows that are fake? The clowns, the fake shows. The miners that aren't miners. Prospectors aren't prospectors. Pig farmers aren't pig farmers. It's an explosion of it's like the ticket that exploded that Henry Miller wrote about. It's the ticket that exploded. It's craziness. None of it's real. Reality shows that are fake. All the lives in America seem to be fake. It's the hollow man all over again. The hollow man. They're all hollow men, fake tough guys with tattoos on all of these shows. Repo man. A real repo man is going to do what he does. Oh, it's fake like a wrestling match. Repo man. Repo man. I got to watch a slob with tattoos on his nose. Irish listener, WFTL, in the land of the free and the home of the bagel. Kieran, welcome from Florida on FTL. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Kieran?
Michael, you have to fight this fight. I'm Irish. I live in South Florida. I actually wrote to Jackie Smith on your behalf.
Ah, wait. And I'm sure she answered you.
I got no response, but I tell you,
Well, wait a minute. You do know Jackie Smith was shortly thereafter condemned for her husband billing pornography to the taxpayer. Remember that one?
I do remember. I follow British politics closely, and I follow you very closely. And I would love to get you to go to Ireland. I actually have some very good contacts with the universities in Dublin, and I think we could create quite a storm if you headed over there, and we could create a debate in Dublin and could prove that you need to have the right to free speech in Europe. And you could.
That's very interesting. Yeah, Ireland is still freer than England, isn't it?
Bizarrely. I mean, this ban, and I'm disgusted. I'm a long-time conservative supporter. I'm disgusted at Cameron not overturning that ban when he took office after Brown was kicked out. So I've been following you for a couple of years. I want to tell you one other thing. I had a dinner party in England where I played your radio show on podcast to my English liberal friends, and we had quite a night.
Oh, my God. English liberal friends. You mean the suicidal English liberal friends? Who have turned their country into Londonistan and they're treated like doormats in their own nation, where soldiers are slashed to ribbons in the street by Muslims from Africa who say that they're entitled to do it because they're at war with the people of England, and they're not kicked out of the country, nor their cohorts, nor the mosque in which they pray is not investigated by the fabulous Brits?
You let me know, Dr. Savage. I have lawyers as well. We could really do something quite interesting. So
You said you have what as well?
Well, I'm a lawyer myself, and I have good friends who would actually, you know, support any case you would like.
No, that's, you know what? I'm going to take you up on it, Kiran. Please stay in the line. Guys, it's very important you take this gentleman's email address, and it's not a fake. Let's get it. I'm not doing anything for the first 90 days. I'm going to do only radio. I've got to adjust to a show 6 hours earlier, and I've got to, you know, reinvent myself in the sense that I've got to reinvent my time frame. Everything is going to be different, and everything's going to be the same. Things change. Things stay the same, as they say, and at a certain point, I don't expect much to change other than the time slot, but that's an adjustment. But you got to float with it. It's that simple. You got to float with it. So get Kiran's email. Callers are good. Let's move on. Let us move on. KLIF in Texas. John, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hello, infidel.
Remember, I used to do that. I would open my show, "Hello, infidels."
Well, there's a whole bunch of us infidels down here in the great state of Texas.
God bless you. God bless you. The whole infidel state of Texas. They're very fidelious here in San Francisco. They love Nancy Pelosi's Looney Tunes. They love her.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was surprised to see they invited her to the Oxford Union because I don't know if they had the Looney Tunes soundbite to play behind her.
She needs to have played Yakety Sax by Boots.
Yeah.
Off.
Yeah, Yakety Yak, Don't Talk Back. So, John, what's on your mind tonight from KLIF Country?
You will be vindicated. It's a matter of time. And do me and all us Texans a big favor and pick up that bust of Winston Churchill that Barry Sotero sent back over there, and we will display it here.
You know, that's a very good idea. When I'm finally invited to England and they apologize for what was done to me by the illegitimate Communist Socialist Labor Party, I will ask for the bust of Winston Churchill to bring back to our shores as reparations, Neil just said. Reparations for what the laborites have done both in America and in England. That would be fabulous to bring the bust back. Maybe we can build a memorial here to Winston Churchill. You know something? Hey, John, am I onto something? Why don't we build an entire memorial to him in Texas, raise funds for it, and make the bust the center of that?
Well, we've got plenty of room down here, and I'm sure that the University of Texas or the Blanton Museum where Andy Warhol's picture of...
So we could put Winston Churchill next to a picture of a soup can.
Well, there's a picture of Farrah Fawcett that Andy Warhol did. She left all her paintings, about 100 of them, to the University of Texas. She attended that.
Oh, she used to buy Warhol paintings?
No, Andy Warhol painted two pictures of her.
Well, they're worth a fortune today. Isn't that amazing? About $60 million, some of his canvases or more?
Yeah, she left
her. The art market's crazy altogether. John, thank you. I'm going to look into that. But that's a nice, twofer. Go to England when I'm, you know, exonerated. Yeah, right. When? How? How's that going to happen? Cameron's going to suddenly say, yeah, I care about this talk show host in America. Let's see if we can help him out here. Let's take his name off the list. Why would Cameron do that for me? I mean, when is he up for election again? Do the English still remember me? By the way, I got to tell you this, because I'm not going to talk about this forever on Monday, but this is a big topic for me tonight. Again, go to Michael's, the Drudge Report, top right, radio host Savage Block from offering Snowden defense in UK. Now, that's an interesting subtext here. Remember what we're talking about. They wanted me to come there and debate the issue of Snowden is a hero. I don't know which side they wanted him to take, by the way. I think I was going to say he's somewhat of a hero, not a traitor. Now, that story unto itself is worthy of discussion, but again, I want to put out a request to anyone who may know anyone who knows how to get to Mr. Snowden and those controlling that data. I read that only 3% of Snowden's files he lifted have been released. I would wonder, I'm just wondering, thinking out loud, I have no control over it, so it won't affect me in a sense. Is there any reference to Michael Savage in those files, in the NSA files? If they're snooping on everyone, what would they possibly have about my being banned under Gordon Brown? I mean, you know, it'd be interesting to see. It's a story unto itself that should be historically interesting to people who are interested in free speech. The First Amendment, it's a piece of history. It's certainly a piece of history. It could be an entire PhD thesis for somebody. That's what I think. I'll be right back. The time is marching on.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, welcome back. It's 56 minutes after the hour. You don't have much time left in this hour on the Savage Nation. A friend of mine just sent me one line. He said, I read the article on the Drudge Report, and he said, your quote is this, it is now 2014, and I am still unable to access the great dental care and cuisine of England, Savage said. I guess Cameron turned out to be the Boehner of England. He said, great line, and he's in the media, pretty important person. But not bad. You know, I can turn a phrase now and again. I should consider a career in radio one of these days. Let's go to WABC. Randy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's outrageous what they did to you in England, but, you know, that's their country. But I'm it's happening here. We're on the same road. There's no free speech here either.
The AP is filing complaints against Obama because apparently on only three occasions since he took the presidency have they ever been able to take a picture of him that wasn't staged by the White House. Can you believe this?
Yes. I'm afraid our government has failed us. I'm afraid the Constitution is a piece of toilet paper. It was the imaginal line that was supposed to protect us from the tyranny of government. And this is no longer a government by and for the people. It's a government by and for the government. And
I would say a government of and by and for the lobbyists would be more appropriate because they represent the government. They're the ones who put the people in power. But having said that, is there a road back from that? My answer, Randy, is yes. There are savage solutions to it. I'm actually writing the book right now. I believe there is a road back. And you have to understand, other countries have gone through far, far darker times than we are in right now, with far more Martinet-like leaders than Barack Obama, far more devious leaders than Barack Obama, with far greater powers than Barack Obama. And they came out in the light because they kept looking to the mountaintop. And there were always a hardcore of people who saw through these moments of darkness and these valleys of the shadow of death. So therefore, I say to you tonight, fear no evil. There is always tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, you made it to hour number three of the Savage Nation tonight, Friday, 12/13/2013. Here's the biggest news of the year. It's on the top of Drudge Report. Not the sun activity is at a century low, no. Radio host Savage blocked from offering Snowden defense in the UK. That's the biggest story of the night. We've been talking about it. I've been invited to Oxford's Debating Society, the Oxford Union in England, which is probably the most prestigious debating society in the world, where world leaders are invited. And they asked me to participate in a debate on whether or not fugitive National Security Agency leaker Edward Snowden should be called a hero. Well, there's only one hitch. There's only one hitch. I'm not allowed to enter England. Here's what I wrote him. I said, while I'm most honored to have been invited to speak at the Oxford Union, I am unable to enter the great nation of England. And the rest, of course, we're talking about. Here I am in the age of free speech and travel, and I'm still banned. Could you believe this? And not one talk show host in America will talk about it. Pelosi says Boehner told me to wait until next year for immigration reform. Defiant Iran storms out of nuclear talks as deal shows signs of crumbling in face of tit-for-tat war of words over sanctions. The Black Death is back, and that's the plague. It could become antibiotic resistance. Thank you, immigrants. It's unbelievable what could happen. Also, tonight is a very special night because tomorrow is the 10th anniversary of the passing of Mama Savage, who was the mother of the Savage Nation, playing some sound on her calling the show many years ago. That's amazing. And there's breaking news as it happens on the program. Now let's jump to michaelsavage.com for some of the other stories. Oxford invites Savage to debate Snowden affair. Help reverse Savage ban in the UK. NSA can decode private cell conversations. 5 years ago today, Al Gore predicted the North Pole would be ice-free in 5 years. Reid pressured the DHS on behalf of his son's casino project. Ooh. U.S. Navy-China showdown. It's in the middle of my website. The Chinese try to halt the U.S. cruiser in international waters. Oh, there's so much other news. I don't know how much more you can take. Oh, Jane Fonda, remembered her? She's denying that her charity violated IRS rules. Meanwhile, Obama shook Raul Castro's hand after 6 months of secret U.S.-Cuba talks. Gives me the chills. How about you? Thank God I was not born a turkey, says Teddy. Well, Thanksgiving's past. We'll have to change it. Thank God I was not born a ham when Christmas comes around. You should read the article on the top of my website all about Oxford inviting Savage to debate Snowden affair. It's a very big story, and please sign up for the newsletter because you will be getting updates, more information as it comes out, to help reverse the Savage ban in the UK. Question to the Savage Nation. Why is it in our age of free speech and travel that I am still banned from entering England, too? Do you know why they banned me? It came out through secret files that my lawyer uncovered that the then Prime Minister of England, I forget his name already, I know he's very famous and probably makes a lot of money, I don't remember him, whatever his name was, but the then Prime Minister of England, a very distinguished gentleman, by the way, distinguished in his own mind, said that he had to balance the least wanted list by putting Michael Savage on it in order to balance out the Muslims who were threatening to kill the Queen and overthrow the government. Can you believe this? Are you offended by the fact that no one in talk radio or on Fox News has any interest in the fact that I'm the only member of the American media that's been banned in England? Why do you think no one has come to Michael Savage's defense? If I am not for myself, who will be, is an old statement. If I'm only for myself, what am I? I mean, the fact is, I have to defend myself. So I wanted to, I'd love to go to Oxford. I happen to love England. I pine for the 18th century architecture in Bath, where one of my early publishers has his headquarters. I love the homes. I love the architecture, the antiquities, just the tradition of England is fabulous. I always loved the English people. I was shocked that I was banned originally, but here it came back again. I mean, it's like a Frankenstein. And so I think it's worth talking about. Also tonight, what would the night be if we didn't have Nancy Pelosi with the Looney Tunes soundbite in clip one? Let's hear it.
I think it really captured the moment. Wouldn't you think?
Oh, not really. That seems to sum up what you think of this legislation.
Well, it's not just the legislation. It's the whole process and the fact that we don't have unemployment insurance and those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, we need to have a budget. So what we decided was that our approach would be to...
You're not going to say it to me. Embrace the suck. Go ahead.
Only in America, only in America could we be ruled by such people. Well, we have one more that's worthy of a Looney Tunes background.
People are reading a lot into a photo that captured a particular moment. If you look at other moments, Michelle Obama, who was accused of looking jealously at the Danish Prime Minister, is smiling and laughing. This is a big tempest in a teapot, and it's a confluence of racist and sexist stereotypes, as if Michelle is this angry black woman, as if President Obama is this oversexed black man who every time he talks to a woman, and by the way, as if the Danish Prime Minister is just some object of flirtation, as opposed to a world leader.
Looney Tunes coming out of the mouthpieces owned by the White House. So now I suppose it's racist to note that Obama disgraced the presidency and himself, by the way, by flirting with the Danish Prime Minister at the funeral for Nelson Mandela. I suppose you can continue to play that game, but no one's buying it anymore. You can only cry wolf so many times. We're talking about... The selfie that Obama took at Nelson Mandela's funeral. That was an embarrassment to himself and to the office. But mainly we're talking about other things on the program. We're talking about Pope Francis shocked people who know what he's doing in his first peace message of his pontificate, attacking people with money. He calls for spreading the wealth in his first peace message as Pope. This is a big deal. He called for more sharing of wealth among people and nations, and he attacked those who are receiving big bonuses. I told you this is liberation theology. I also told you this is very dangerous. I also told you that it's hypocrisy of the greatest kind, because some will say that the Pope is throwing stones from a glass house in that that gold palace called the Vatican was not built by the poor, it was built by the rich. And the great art that we have come to associate with the church was art that was commissioned by the rich, not by the poor. There are other topics. You know, even if the country is going to you-know-where in a handbasket, at least I can enjoy the ride. Moving into fourth gear for the big shift coming January, I'm like a child waiting for Christmas for that new day part, and it's like a set of toys I can't wait to play with. And I hope you'll join me on the first show, January 1. The first live show will be January 2. And on that note, I have to say this because apparently my competition is spreading the gospel that he's happy about the move. Sean Hannity lost 52 Cumulus stations, which are the best stations in America. They include WABC, WMAL, the great WLS in Chicago, KSFO in San Francisco. I can name them all, and I'm not trying to diminish the other stations. Hannity lost 52 of the greatest stations in the country. I got them. I will be on 208 stations as of now with 82 live. Sure, he has more stations than I, but, you know, size doesn't matter to everybody. It's the quality and the signal. That's the program. I feel very energized. I got to tell you again, it's not to try to tell you I went to the museum 80 times. When I walked through the exhibit that nobody was in, people were in the other exhibits, and I went into the exhibit of the Middle Ages of tapestries, and I saw the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And then the cardinal virtues, as expressed in these tapestries that the church commissioned in that century. Virtues. What are the four cardinal virtues? The writings of classical antiquity and along with the theological virtues also in Christian tradition. Are they taught today? Are children taught faith, hope, and charity? Are they taught prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude? Or are they taught to take a selfie and to take a pill? They're taught take a selfie and then take an Adderall. That's what they're taught by this degenerate group of non-leaders in the Democrat Party and the media and Hollywood. Don't believe in faith, hope, and charity. Take a pill, smoke a joint, pollute your mind, pollute your body, and then sleep with anyone you want like a damn mink under a tree. That's the country I'm living in. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? I'm disgusted with a president who looks like a kid taking a picture of himself. That's all. Faith, hope, and charity. It's pretty interesting. Cardinal virtues. I go to a museum, I get uplifted. Pretty amazing. I keep going past the same sarcophagus that I don't know, as I get older, I don't go near it as much, but there was a sarcophagus down in the basement of the Palace of the Legion of Honor. I can't help it. I'm drawn to it like a fly to you-know-what. After walking through the exhibits, I go down to the lower basement near the cafeteria. I like museum cafeterias. It's all the liberals who don't work, having like a sensible sandwich, a sensible glass of horrendous wine, being educated, you know, what else am I supposed to do? It's better than going, you know, doing nothing, I suppose. And sensible oldsters with white hair, probably all of whom vote for Obama, having, as I say, the sensible tuna salad sandwich, which is all mayonnaise, by the way, horrible for them, and cheap wine, sitting in the art garden, very nice. But right next to that room in the Palace of Legion of Honor in San Francisco, great museum, incidentally, is the sarcophagus that I would go past with the children when they were very young, and time is click, tick, clicky, ticky, ticky, clicky, time. Moving on, my friends. How many years have I looked at that sarcophagus? You know, when you're young, you look at a sarcophagus as an art object. As you get a little older and the children reach the teens, the sarcophagus no longer looks so much like an art object as something sensible for the ancient Romans. So if you want to comment on this, go ahead. I'm just getting warmed up. I am getting warmed up, but I will repeat again for those of you just tuned in. If anyone is listening to this show in Russia, if Edward Snowden himself gets a copy of this radio show or listens to it because he enjoys me talking about Indian buffets and he misses coming back to bad food, I would suggest this, Mr. Snowden. You've only looked through you've only released 3% of what you have found from the NSA. Would you please do a quick search under the name Michael Savage and see what names might pop up? Because, I mean, you're free. I don't know who did it. Somebody did it from America and sent it to that Jackie Smith creature in England. And then she entered my name on that list. So there it is. I mean, that's the story. What can I say to you? 855-400-7282. What a world. Also, tonight is a very special night for me because tomorrow will be the 10th anniversary of the passing of the mother of the Savage Nation, who is Mama Savage. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years. I know many of you have listened to me sometimes for 15 or 20 years now. Do you believe 10 years have gone by since Mama Savage went to heaven? I cannot believe it's been 10 years. It's hard to believe. I thought it was 5, 4. I lost track of it. You know, I have other sound from the BBC from that time. I have the actual WorldNet Daily article, which is now on the Drudge Report, which you can peruse on your own. If you care to comment on the Savage being banned in England all over again. I mean, listen, Winston Churchill said it best. He gave a speech on freedom of speech that no one's ever matched because he was the great genius on this subject, on many other subjects as well. I'll never forget it. He was speaking about the dangers of socialism after World War II. He was running for office and the country had turned straight out socialist. They were tired from the war. They wanted the government to take care of them. He was arguing that you shouldn't go down that road, what socialism is and what it would do to the country, etc. And he was arguing about freedom of speech and what the progressive socialists would do to speech, and he was reminding everyone that offensive speech needs protection. Polite speech does not need protection. We all engage in it. Corporations, families, wherever you go, it's polite speech. What do you need a First Amendment for that? The First Amendment was written to protect offensive speech, is what he said. And I learned from it. And I won the Freedom of Speech Award from Talkers Magazine, which is one of the great honors of my life. And I gave one of the great speeches on freedom of speech. I talked about the entire subject on the differences between satire, sarcasm, etc. No one has done a better job than I have on speech. This is my business. I should be lauded in America for this. Not ignored and reviled like I'm a Soviet dissident by the so-called conservative media. I expect it from the progressives. I wouldn't expect it from all of the so-called wrap themselves in the Constitution right-wingers, would you? I'd like to find out who did it. Somebody done it, and it came from America. And this could shake up the elections in the year 2013, 2014, and 2016. If it goes back to people, major figures in the Democrat Party, and they conspired to ban me in England, I don't think it would help them with liberals who believe in the First Amendment. Do you? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, there's a meteor shower tonight, a comet shower that's supposed to go off like comets do, bursts, comet bursts. It's an amazing night. I mean, there's so many things in the air celestially, and tomorrow is the 10th anniversary of the passing of the mother of the Savage Nation. Now this thing of being invited to Oxford, and I still can't go there, which I had forgotten about. I sort of moved past it in a way, but you never move past this kind of insult. They try to besmirch the reputation of a man who has a fine name, and they let animals into England. They let disgusting, low-life, anti-British, anti-freedom, anti-queen, anti-life, low-life throwbacks into the nation who say they're going to blow up the country, and they don't throw them out. The world is upside down. You know, I'm in Brobbingdang here. I'm in Brobbingdang. This is like the last chance I have to straighten my life out. How many years do I have left? How many years does the world have left? The world of civilization that a thing like this could go on, I ask myself. So before we go back to taking your great calls on what the progressives are doing to freedom around the world, I love this one. De Blasio says liberalism will sweep nation. Yeah, Nazism will sweep the country. Should, Bill. Your liberal fascism will sweep the nation. Everybody can't wait to be scared by your left-wing terrorists into giving up every dime they make to the bums and the deadbeats. Unbelievable. The world is turning on its axis, by the way. It's been turned upside down. There's a lot of reasons for it. But nevertheless, I don't want to go into that. You know the reasons. The question is, what can you do about it? And the answer is, I think there's precious lot. A precious lot you can do. Don't give up. Oxford is about the most prestigious debating society on the planet. Who wouldn't want to go there? I'm capable of defending my positions. You know, it's an interesting one. The House would call Edward Snowden the hero. Now, I don't know which side they want me to take, incidentally. Maybe next week I will actually take that the position I'm going to take and do it on the radio for the world to hear. I'm not so sure I would call him an unmitigated hero. Many of you have debated that with me. I have a question about the Edward Snowden story. I read yesterday in an article posted on Drudge, by the way, that they've only released 3% of the Snowden documents. He's hiding in Russia, right? Isn't it interesting? He's hiding in Russia. He can't enter the United States. I'm not hiding in the U.S., but I can't enter the U.K., which is very interesting. And what did I actually do that was wrong? Okay, in an age of the land of the Magna Carta, I can't speak my mind because some Democrats in this country cut up sound and sent it to England. Remember, my show is not heard in England. It was a Democrat, as sure as I'm sitting here, or Media Matters who did it. And I haven't gotten to the bottom of it.
Savage. Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
The first guess, yes, it was President Obama. And the lie of the year is, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it. And this is coming from the director, Angie Holland, of PolitiFact. We counted dozens of times that President Obama said that if you like your health plan, they keep them. It was a catchy political pitch and a chance to calm nerves about his dramatic and complicated and bring historic change to America's health insurance system. But the promise was impossible to keep. This fall, as the cancellation letters were coming out, the public realized that Obama's breezy assurances were wrong, boiling down the complicated health care law to a sound. Again, this is coming from a fact-checking group that won a Pulitzer Prize. And they also add that the president and his team made matters worse by suggesting that they, too, had misunderstood the law, and the stunning political uproar led to a rare presidential apology. And there you go, Michael. That's the lie of the year, and I'm sure there are just several runners-up on this, but that is the lie of the year coming from PolitiFact.
Obama's poll numbers have been dropping, and now they're calling the low numbers normal? That's called a new normal, huh?
Well, this is not just President Obama's, but it's coming from the actual director of the Gallup poll. And he was speaking in terms of some new findings that they have, where they found that Americans' job approval ratings for Congress in 2013 averaged 14%, but this is the lowest annual average in Gallup's history. Normally, it's sort of lingering around a more tolerant 33%. And the thing that struck me about when he was speaking about these findings, he said low evaluations of Congress appear to be a new normal. Now, what does that mean? Suddenly, that terrible, lousy poll ratings of our leaders and our lawmakers is the new normal? I think they're beginning to recalibrate the standards. And in my humble opinion, I wish it was a message to our politicians to up their act and stop this plummeting of polls and also the plummet of the standards. I mean, even the Quinnipiac University, they found in terms of President Obama's job, 57% of registered American voters, now that's the engaged public, registered American voters, 57%, gave him lousy ratings on his job performance. And you go down the numbers on this, that was 92% of Republicans, 18% of Democrats, 62% among independents. It goes on and on. And coming from an academic source, they say a rousing chorus of bah humbug for President Obama as American voters head into the holidays. And this is a trend I'm going to watch with some alarm when the poll standards even start down.
The mainstream media went into overdrive defending the Castro-Obama handshake. How do you feel about how it was misreported?
Well, part of this, Michael, some lazy journalism going on. We did a count of the stories that appeared within 2 hours. This is 2 hours of a five-second event where the two leaders shook hands and went about their business, or at least that's what we're led to believe. In those 2 hours, about 3,400 stories quickly emerged out of this. This is across the board, all kinds of news organizations. That's from a Google News count. They actually track the actual mention of words and subject matter through the news. 3,400 stories in 2 hours. What is going on here? This is a very convenient thing for journalists. You have this tiny little event that gives them a chance to go crazy with their speculations and also write some very fancy headlines. I mean, the headlines are kind of off the wall as well. The Economist said, oh, no, high five here. And everyone was wondering, is this a sign of things to come? That came from Fox Business News. And the handshakes that gripped the world, the Daily Mail, British Press, I know you always like to follow them. But anyway, it comes down to the fact that suddenly we get a huge amount of coverage over a single incident like this, which may or may not be a throwaway. There is still talk about, is this handshake gate? Was this pre-planned for a long time in advance? We still don't know that, if it matters anymore or not. I guess it does. But, again, we find our journalists will go crazy when it's convenient.
The big story is that members of the press are starting to grumble about the lack of access to the president. No photos allowed. What's really going on?
Well, that's exactly right. And it will show you that these kind of reactions show you that the press is actually made up of a bunch of human beings rather than this giant wave of reactionaries from both sides. And indeed, they are beginning to complain, and very loudly so, about the lack of access of the Obama White House. Particularly in terms where photography is concerned. They do have a kind of an official White House photographer now, and they do bar photographers from other news organizations. And now the journalists a couple weeks ago, about 40 news organizations, these are major news organizations, sent a letter to White House Press Secretary Jay Carney complaining, where is the access? You guys are supposed to be the most transparent White House in history. What's happening here? And this whole situation has fomented and fermented and done all kinds of things over the weeks until this week. It just kind of erupted, and right in the middle of the daily press conference with the aforementioned Jay Carney, he pretty well needed a kind of a whip and a chair to keep the press back on all this, again asking. This is coming from a CNN reporter, said, anyone here can tell you that there's less access here than under the Bush administration. Now, think about that. That's coming from CNN. And they were complaining during the 40-hour plane ride, think about that, hours, in the air going to South Africa and back. There was no press access. And Mr. Carney was all in the middle of this, and he was saying, this is sort of the way the marketplace is. He was assuring them again and again, I want to work on giving photographers more access. Every White House, Mr. Carney said, every president has had meetings that the press didn't cover. And certainly that is true. And certainly I think there's a place for when national security is concerned here. That has to be a very thoughtful line that they go through. But the message on all this is that the very friendly press is getting very intolerant at this point. They want their news. They want it now.
Jennifer Hopper, where can my listeners read more of your work?
I'm at WashingtonTimes.com. I write the Inside the Beltway column, and you can find me on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. Thanks.
Hey, Jennifer Hopper, thanks again for being with us on the Savage Nation.
It's always a pleasure, Michael.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
They tried to couch her in this stereotypical racist narrative of the angry black woman. And again, the fact that we're talking about a selfie, or that people are trying to push to read a selfie, says two really sad things. One, technology overdetermines our news media and our political discourses. But then two, we don't have enough substantive things to deal with in our nation or in the world that we're going to spend time trying to take. This is not even a moment. This is a second out of a moment,
right,
that the people are zeroed in on. So
Another genius on MSNBC saying it's racist to note that Obama disgraced the presidency. He said, oh, this is a moment. Well, shooting someone only takes a moment. Yeah, only takes a moment. You shouldn't notice the shooting, though. Shooting a cop, for example, in a traffic stop. You can't judge the man who shot the cop. He got excited. It was only a moment. You can't call him a name because he shot the cop. It only took a moment to pull the trigger. But, you know, hey. So now we're talking about the moment that we're living with of liberation theology being pushed now by the writings of our new Pope, which you don't know what liberation theology is. We heard about it when Obama was sitting in Reverend Wright's church for over 20 years, learning this. He was seeped in it. Some people are seethed in philosophies, and it goes in their ears, as I've been trying to tell you. Some are seethed in the beauty of America, the greatness of the nation, in their churches. Some are seethed in hatred for America in their churches, which is what, of course, the president was brought up on. It should have been an issue when he was elected, but the damn Republicans wouldn't let us talk about it. Old John McCain, the cover-up artist, who's now trying to cover up who he actually is, forbade us from talking about this, about Reverend Wright. It could have undermined Obama and elected McCain. I don't know what a bargain that would have been, but I would have slept better at night knowing McCain was the president with regard to the war on terror, with regard to the war on the American people, with regard to the war on the military, with regard to the war on conservatives. That wouldn't have happened under McCain, as bumbling as he is. No. So now we have a liberation theologist in the White House, a liberation theologist in Rome, and a liberation theologist in New York City's mayorship, as far as I can tell. And they're not alone. Every major coastal city dominated by illegal aliens has elevated a liberation theologist to become the political head. Sure, we all want to fight poverty. How'd that work out in America since LBJ's war on poverty? How'd that work out after several trillion dollars? How did increasing the welfare state work for the poor in America? Well, we have more food stamps, people on food stamps than ever before. Food stamps. The term liberation theology was coined in 1971 by the Peruvian priest Gustavo Gutierrez, who wrote a book on it. And it was picked up, and it was, let us say, amalgamated by the Catholic Church. It was rejected, by the way, because of its Marxist connections in the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in 1984 and 1986. But apparently it's resurfacing. It's resurfacing because apparently the Vatican now has embraced it. Do you understand why this is so important as a Catholic? If you're a Catholic listening to this show, you have to understand you can be a proud Catholic, you can love your religion, you can love your church, you can support your church, but you don't have to accept the political writings of anyone in the church. You are free to ignore the comments of the church on matters unrelated to faith and morals. That is what a church is for. Matters related to faith and morals. Not matters related to bonuses and greed and inequality. How much more can we give the poor? And by the way, I mean, there's such a degree of hypocrisy in it, as people have noted. It's an embarrassment to have to say it, but the great art of the Vatican was created by wealth, not by poverty. The great art of the Vatican, the building itself, the Vatican, the beautiful Vatican building, was constructed with donations from the wealthiest of citizens, not from the poorest. And if you want to dumb down a nation and you want to keep going to the lowest common denominator, what you wind up with is rubble. If you keep pandering to the lowest common denominator, whether it be in a classroom or a nation, you wind up with chaos and rubble. And I'll take it right back to the fifth grade. You know, I was just a student, whatever. I wasn't a particularly brilliant student. And I didn't like school at all. I hated school. I couldn't sit still. Couldn't stand it. And I met a kid who was worse than me. And he was a real troublemaker. And the minute he and I, our eyes crossed, I was a new kid in the school. I moved from another neighborhood. We clicked, and we caused mayhem in the class. We did every mischievous thing you could imagine. I don't mean anything evil. We couldn't take the teacher. We couldn't take the classroom's rigidity. So like prisoners, we created a... She put me in the far right corner front, and she put him in the far left corner back. So what we did was we brought string to school the next day, and I'm remembering it now for the first time. We wrapped the string around the leg of one of my chairs, and we had the other kids pass it back, like in a prison, to the kid in the back, my friend, my mischievous friend. And we then had a rope, a little string we could pull and pass messages. So we'd be facing frontwards, and I would tie a message to him, and he'd pull it to the back, and he'd read it and laugh. The other kids were in on the joke, and they would see what we were doing, and they'd nudge each other. It was a lot of fun, by the way. I'll never forget, the teacher caught us, and she kept us after school, and she screamed at us, and she said, I remember to this day, and I'm a much older guy, I'm no longer in the fifth grade, and she said, I'll never understand, I think she said it to my mother, why the lowest common denominator always brings down the highest. why when you mix the two together, the worst students will always dictate the classroom's behavior, not the best students. If that does not tell you what's going on in America today, I'd like to know what is. This constant pandering to the illiterate, to the gangster, to the degenerate, to the Hollywood slut. Where have we gone as a country when we let these people dictate to us what our nation should be thinking about and acting like? Where? I'm not saying they don't have a place in society. Yeah, everyone has a place in society from the low to the high. But when you glorify the low, the entire nation goes in that direction. Which brings us right back to the issue of the president taking a selfie. Unto itself, it's not a big deal. But for a president to do it, it is a big deal. At a funeral for Nelson Mandela, it's even a bigger deal. And if you see the pictures taken by Reuters of the stone-faced Africans sitting around them, you'll understand how it is being talked about around the world, not around the block. They're appalled by this man's goofiness and lack of self-respect. And I have a new respect for Michelle Obama, as I said to you. She is stone-faced, appalled by her husband's behavior. Why? You say, oh, because he was flirting with the president of Denmark, a beautiful white woman. That's not it at all. It had nothing to do with the flirtation. She's so past that, she could care less. She's appalled because he disgraced the presidency. That's how I see it. She understood what he was doing. She had dignity. He didn't. That's how I see it. Because I promised this, I want to go back 10 years to when Mom, it's actually longer because I don't have the date, but this is a few years before Mom got really sick. And I want to show you how fast this woman was in her own, how she set me up. Listen to clip 4. Mother Savage, I was talking with my audience about fond memories and things that influenced me. And I remember the day you took me and Alan to Radio City Music Hall to the, do you remember here how radio was done behind the scenes?
Oh, sure.
Do you remember when they rattled the big piece?
The NBC tour.
The NBC tour.
Right.
And they show you with the horse's hooves to make it sound like a horse on a
Right.
And then they rattled a piece of metal to make it sound like thunder.
Right.
And then where did you take us to eat? Do you remember where you would take Alan and I to eat?
Oh, we went to the Automat.
No. Well, the Automat was one place. How about when you took us to the Floridian?
Oh, my God. That's right.
Remember that they whipped
Floridian, the Californian.
Now, you see, you're in Florida and I'm in California. There was something there. But they whipped the eggs up. What I liked about it is you made eggs. I mean, I don't want to put you down, but they were just eggs. They were flat like everyone else's eggs. But when you went into this place, they had a way to make the egg go up like in a pyramid.
They put something in the eggs to make it puffy.
How do you... You're 83, right?
Right.
But you're not on a low-fat diet. You never have been.
I should be.
You should be. But the truth is, you and I, once I got my PhD in nutrition, I'd come to your house and you'd always cook the same fatty foods, and I would say, how can you do that? And you always ate it, but God bless you. What else? You like on a Saturday, what do you eat when you go out?
French fried potatoes.
You're 83 years old. You eat French fried potatoes, and what else do you have with it? What other light bite?
Frankfurters. Sauerkraut.
Oh, I love you. But let me ask you, truthfully, you don't smoke or drink, right?
No.
In your life, did you smoke?
No.
Yeah, I saw once you did when you were 30. You took a cigarette.
Just to show off. Just to show off.
But, so in other words, you think that it's...
Inhale.
So in other words, what you didn't inhale like Bill Clinton. Is that what you just said?
I never had any vices.
You never had any vices. But, Ma, what do you think...
All I did was eat food.
So you can eat anything, but what do you think is the secret to longevity?
What's the secret?
Yeah. Because you're an elder. You're 83.
Yeah, my case, what it is, I think.
What?
No sex.
So that was an amazing, amazing thing. So what do you owe on to what do you owe longevity? And she says, in my case, and she sets me up, and I said, she says, no sex. I mean, you got to understand where I got my timing from. An amazing woman, and I've missed her for every day that she's been, you know, gone. And that's the way life is. It's after many a summer dies the swan. It's that simple. It's been said many times by many more eloquent people than I, and it's the way of all flesh, as was written by someone else who was also quite great.
Savage.